Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 642. And it's another one of those things where I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to talk about. I just happen to be listening to Rush Limbaugh. And I don't listen to Rush very much. I used to listen to him a lot. About 15 years ago, I listened to Rush religiously. And over the years, it's kind of gotten a little bit... Ooh, there's a bunch of vultures. Oh, my. Okay. Makes you feel good. Over the years, I've kind of gotten a little put off by Rush. Not to say that he isn't having fun and being interesting and things like that. I think my whole outlook on talk radio is a little, I guess I'm a little down on it, honestly. And I don't know how I feel about it. Success in talk radio is an interesting animal to begin with. And you can't really just... I personally have to think that, I think these people are honest. I don't think they're saying things they don't believe. Their presentation style might be a certain way just for the simple reason that that's what sells. So I was listening to Rush, and I just happened to catch a snippet of this lady. This is the end of May, 2008. A book is coming out, which in 3 months will be nothing. Will have no credence. I've read a couple of reviews of this book, maybe advanced reviews, I don't know, from Scott McClellan, who used to be President Bush's press secretary. And this book is supposed to be some sort of a expose on the lead up to the war in Iraq, and McClellan's take is that, most of what was being talked about was a setup. This was a setup from the very beginning, that he was gonna, that he was saying whatever it took to get this war done, to convince people to let him do it. And it would be shocking if it wasn't already kind of a known and out there kind of thing. The fact that it's coming from his ex-press secretary, one of the people that used to be in the Bush inner circle, is interesting. But, as to new information, I wouldn't anticipate it particularly. But what was really striking was this woman that called Rush's show about it. She was, you could tell she was shaking, she was livid, she was all about the patriotism. Where is this man's patriotism? Where is this man's yada, 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 yada? And she was accusing him of several things, trying to make a buck off of something, trying to, lying for money, perhaps. Says, and the whole point is, number one, we don't know. Don't know if it's a political endgame. Don't know. You don't know anything. We so rarely know the truth. And when people start getting weird and starting to interject, loyalty or patriotism or standing up for America, which means you must support George Bush, that's a little... I think that's just as disingenuous astounding as the guy writing a book about his former political boss that, you know, isn't very complimentary. And that's the way these things are going. You know, everybody's profiting off everybody else. Everybody else is getting so angry, thinking that their take on it is true. And this is what passes for, you know, honesty and integrity and things like that. And you're just going, how can it possibly, you know, you're just picking a side and hoping your side is right. That which is always dangerous in my book, for the simple reason that you don't know. You don't know what the truth is. Perhaps George Bush did do all the things that Scott McClellan is going to accuse him of. Perhaps he didn't. Perhaps he did some things, and he didn't do others. Perhaps some are fabrications and some aren't. It's really hard to say. And honestly, you know, will we ever know the truth? We rarely ever do in these circumstances. So, to get all exercised about it, on one side or the other, seems a little silly, you know. You just look like a partisan, and I mean that as just picking a side, not being, oh, you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. You know, I don't care. I don't care about those things. I'm a registered Democrat, but I rarely vote Democrat. I register as a Democrat because most of the decisions in my town, in my district, are made in the Democratic primary. You know? When the Republicans put out their thing, they usually only have one. There's no decision to be made. At least I can make two decisions. I can make the decision about who the Democratic candidate will be for offices. And then, at the general, I can vote however I want. I can vote, you know, I can vote for the Democrat or for the Republican. There's nothing telling me that I must be loyal to party. I'm not a member of the party. I'm just registered a certain way. I certainly don't pay the Democrats any money. I'm not a... Even though I have serious, huge leanings toward the Libertarian Party, I'm not a member of it. I'm not a registered Libertarian. And, you know, and there it is. Like I said, I only have a few associations. I only have a few things that I'm actually a member of. All of them except one are lapsed, either because I choose not to be a part of that group anymore, or I just don't have time to really be a part of it. The only affiliation that I am active in and I keep up with is my membership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Because I find that association vital to my future, vital to my life. So that's what I keep up with. All the rest of them I don't. Because, you know what, given one take or another, you know, it really doesn't bother me particularly. I'm not for having a lot of political opinions, I am not by nature a very political person. As in being very partisan. I don't tend to take sides particularly. I don't know, you know, I don't know if what I do constitutes taking the high ground. I don't know. But what I do know is what I would like to see. And what I like to see has nothing to do with what person is the president. It has nothing to do with who my individual congressman is. It really doesn't. One guy getting into Congress is about the same as any other guy getting into Congress. You know, every branch of government is somewhat corrupt, has somewhat strayed from what I think their lives should be about. And whoever sits there doesn't matter. My mother and my brother often ask me, you know, well, who are you going to vote for, Jay? And it's like, you know, my mom doesn't really want to vote for any of the people, but she's probably going to she's either going to vote for John McCain, or she's not going to vote for anybody at all. She'll just leave the presidential ballot blank. I don't know what my brother's going to do. That's totally up to him. I do know that he doesn't like Obama, and I think that's probably a pretty good idea. I don't know what the man is about, except to say he seems to smack of socialism. And I'm not very interested in socialism. I like what little freedom I have left too much. And I can just see him sucking away at least my economic freedom, my freedom to use my money as I please, to put it toward what I want it to go toward. Now, he might be for social freedom, you know, your ability to be able to do whatever you want. Now, I am somewhat of a social liberal, and I'm not trying to foist my morals on other people. I'm not trying to legislate morality particularly. But I'm also a very economic liberal, that people shouldn't be constrained. One should not take all of people's money as if you know better how to distribute it than people do. If people are selfish and mean and greedy, then we might as well reveal that for what it is. Anyway, Mom and Joe asked me about, you know, how I was going to vote. And I've come down to this, and you can tell me what you think. You can send me an email at autism@quix.us and tell me, yeah, Jay, you're full of hot air, you're a bunch of garbage, which is fine, you know, I'm perfectly prepared to be doing something that you don't agree with. That's cool, that's alright, I do that a lot. I'm going to vote as I have in the past, except for one occasion where I made a tactical mistake. I'm going to vote pretty much the Libertarian ticket wherever I can. Other than that, it really doesn't matter particularly. You know, I need to know what's going on in my local races, what local people want to have done. And it's interesting, someday I think I might like to do local politics, just to see how it would go. Not that your local politicians have any power at all. They can't really do anything. I think it would be good to make some changes. But for the most part, anything that's really valuable is out of the hands of local politicians anyway. It's out of the hand of local leaders. The local leaders are almost somewhat meaningless. All they're about is trying to get more money and more business into a place, and there's one or two things I would do it, and that's it. But yes, the Libertarian ticket, all the way. Not even knowing who's going to be on the Libertarian ballot, I don't care, doesn't matter. Because what I want to do is, I want the share of votes for the Libertarian Party to rise. I want that number to grow. And, you know, because I want people to know that those ideals, those ideas, are what are important to us, to me, personally. let people know that this is what's growing. This is that this is growing in the world. It isn't just Democrats and Republicans. It isn't just the modern tax and spend liberal and the you know, puritanical, moralistic conservatives, that there are other choices. And one of the great choices is we want to be as free as we can be without giving people the ability to tyrannize others. You know, if there was some way to end oppression, I would do it. I would do that. But without taking away people's liberty to be and to act and to do as they wish, as long as it doesn't infringe upon other people's right to do and to live and to be whatever they like. So that's where I'm coming from. And it just came up again because of that lady on Rush Limbaugh getting so exercised, you know. It was almost like her president is going to be attacked and she can't stand that. Is it a political ploy? The timing seems pretty interesting for it to be a political ploy. You know, is Scott McClellan being paid off by forces that want to see George Bush destroyed? Well, there's a reasonable chance that the answer is yes. There's a reasonable chance that that might be true. Ta-da! You know, I don't know. I can't say. Anyway. So, that's what I'm going to ultimately do. I don't see anything that would make me change my mind. In the last presidential election, in 2004, I voted for George Bush, and I regret having done so. I listened to his convention speech in 2004, and he spoke about freedom and about liberty and about things like that. And I was a sucker. I believed him. I believed him. Of course, then after that, the strengthening of the Patriot Act, several executive orders, which I'm sorry, the president controls executive orders, of course, that stripped away more power, that made the president so much more powerful of an office. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. We don't need a powerful executive. I don't like a powerful government. What I would like to see is a government that when people are exercising their liberty but not hurting people, you don't even know it's there. You don't even know it's there. You know, the only people who would know that there is a government, that there is law enforcement out there, are those who are, you know, oppressing other people. That's the only people who would know. You know, oh my gosh, the cops came and started asking questions and investigating something that I had done. And you go, yeah, that's it. As I've said before, I'm trying, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at this at all, but I'm trying to get to the point to where I can have trust enough in God that I'll let Him punish people who do atrocities. Let me hearken back to 9/11. And our response to it, you know. My take is that 20 guys with box cutters and things like that hijacked three planes and did a lot of destruction and killed a lot of people. Now, in the process of doing that, these 20 guys, they all died. And I have to have faith that, since they have died, that they are going to get their ultimate justice here. They are now in God's hands. The sad fact that after this happened, there became this whole need to retaliate against those who planned this horrible thing. We can never know the truth of who planned it. We can never know. We have invaded, conquered, and now occupy two countries, have a stranglehold on a few more, with, all in the name of retaliation for what happened to us. I guess everybody says, well, it's not just 9/11, it's a lot of other terrorist things that have been happening. And it's like, sure. And you start getting all of the justifications coming out. And they're all somewhat debatable. They are. We're going to catch these people. And you go, I don't see American soldiers, I don't hear about American soldiers going out and actively trying to find Osama bin Laden, the guy who is supposedly the great mastermind and backer of 9/11, the thing that we're trying to seek retribution for. Right? You don't hear about it anymore. You don't hear about it. I don't think they really care. I don't think we really care about it anymore. We're too busy trying to hold together our occupations of Afghanistan and Iraq, and trying as hard as we can to find some justification to go to war with Iran. This has become the ultimate snowball. I don't want people to be offended by me calling what happened at 9/11 something of a pebble. He's downplaying the fact that 3,000 people died. You know what? More than 3,000 people die in natural disasters about every month or so lately. I don't know how many people died in Katrina, but we aren't getting all exercised about that, I guess because we can't find something to retaliate against. Of course, most of those people died because of our government's ineptness. Why aren't we retaliating against the government for the people who died because of Katrina? Why aren't we doing something about those who made that happen? A guy lost his job. Oh, perish the thought, poor guy. I'm sure he's working at some think tank for twice the money now. But, I'm not saying we need to retaliate for that. I'm speaking against the whole concept of retaliation. The 20 guys who killed all those people, they're dead now. God will punish them. Okay? Do you trust that? Especially you who profess to be Christians. Do you trust that God's going to do that? Because I seem to hear a lot of people who purport to be Christians being all for all these atrocities that we're performing 10,000 miles away, or however far away Iraq and Afghanistan are from us. Those are the people that are steadfast behind, let's punish these people. Let's punish them. These aren't the people that did it! These aren't the countries that sent this out. You would think that Iraq had declared war on us sent those 20 people over here to, you know, to take us out. And that's not what happened. Neither that nor anything in Afghanistan. There's only weird, twisted accusations that those regimes maybe supported terrorism. And we don't know that particularly. But what an awesome justification for going in. You know, oh, weapons of mass destruction, we can't have Saddam Hussein have weapons of mass destruction. By golly, he may give them to a terrorist to come and bomb us. And it's like, well, okay, maybe. I don't know. But is that what we do now? We preemptively start wars based on just rumors and possibilities? We're so easy to twist into that. It's all based on fear. It's all based on lack of faith that God is going to take care of things, that we will be blessed. I think we have lost our basic belief that right will triumph over wrong. And that we don't have to become that evil thing ourselves, because that's what we're doing. That's what we're in the depths of doing, running toward cheering. Yay! I remember Michael Medved really trashing the Star Wars, the third episode. What is it called? The Revenge of the Sith? I guess, and about how political it was, and how it speaks to how evil the Bush administration is, and how they're going to take over, and you're going, yes, it does speak to that. And I'm not saying Bush particularly, because when a Democrat's going in there, it will not change. It's not that it was Bush that did it particularly. His opposition is just chasing to have the power that Bush has now. That's the difference between the two. Who's going to hold that power in their hand? And each new president seizes more power. In the hopes that, you know, I don't know what it is, because they want that power. You know, and it switches back and forth between Democrats and Republicans, you know. People are liked, people are disliked. It's heady, it's power, it's gain, it's able to... It's the ability to profit your friends and punish your enemies. The fact that it switches off every 4 or 8 years is interesting, bordering on pointless and kind of stupid. You know, the fact that people get so exercised about who wields this power, when what I worry about, what I seem to think is, why do we permit anybody this kind of power over anybody else, over our lives? Why do we permit it? Why do we let it go on? Why not just take it away? You know, I think I've talked about in this podcast how I would handle Congress and the presidency. If you take away their money, that strips away most of their power. Without the money, they're, you know, they can pass all the laws they want to. They can make all the memorials they like. But it's kind of purposeless, because unless they have the money to back it up, nothing's going to happen. That's what I would do. I would take away their ability to control the purse. You know, I would put something in the Constitution that says, you know, the federal government is only allowed to have and play with a certain percentage, a rather small one, of the gross domestic product, maybe 0.5 or maybe even 1%, is all they're permitted to play with. You know? You know, they can have fun playing with how it's taxed, how it's done. You know, you need to give them, I guess, something to do. But just to say, you know, any time that there's 1% of stuff, you know, it has to be returned. Anything over 1% has to be returned in a proportionate way to the people it got taken from. So, you know, you can't do that. And, you know, devolve that down to the states and to the local government as well. You know, that would curtail down. I don't know how you would actually pull that off and who you would trust to make sure that happened. We already know the books are cooked all the time, that the government plays, but the government's always playing with different formula and basically how to say this is how things are. So, you know, it's just like that. So, you know, when it comes down to it, I don't care who really wins the presidency. My job is to make sure that the president's power is curtailed. The whole point of having three branches of government was that they would somehow balance each other out in a powerful way. You know, balance out each other's power. And what we've found is more true is that people spend more time, you know, the three branches of government spend more time kind of making, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours sort of deals, and making everybody more powerful. Making everybody, you know, like that. So all I can do is, one, express the fact that I want to go the other way, which is what I do when I vote libertarian, or I hope I do when I vote libertarian. And I look forward to the time when Christ comes, when governments fall apart. Well, I think the governments will fall apart before Christ comes. When the government falls apart, and when Christ comes and establishes his reign on the earth, and all these things will just work and be guaranteed. I look forward to that day. And until that day, I am all for supporting freedom and liberty and preaching that God will punish the oppressors. This is Jay Nemro on the road, having an interesting time. Oh, golly. This is episode number 642. If you'd like to make a comment, the email address is autism@quix.us. If you want me to come speak to your group, you know, about whatever, I'm kind of trying to get up the whole concept of child-centeredness, describing it for people and what they can do. If you want me to talk about that, I'd love to come talk to your group about that. Parenting, homeschooling, whatever group at all wants to hear about that. You can contact me at 1-571-2716. This is Jay Nemro. Where's my pointer? Oh, there it is, way up there. Have a great day.